We have a quorum, so we'll call our meeting to order. First order of business is our public comment period. We have a couple of folks here, but they're on our agenda, so I don't see anybody else, so we'll move on. We have two sets of minutes to approve today. One of them's from our January 18th meeting. The other's from our February 15th meeting. If you folks have had a chance to take a look, maybe we could get a motion to approve.
To approve both of them?
Yes, please.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of our meeting February 15th and January 18th as written.
Great. Will you second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. Thank you. What I'd like to do, if it's okay, is because we have a couple of members here to talk about item A under our new business discussion of public art concept, maybe we could, if everybody's okay with that.
Packet of information of just basics, and we were just coming to answer questions. So I think Jane will give you an overview of what the project is, and then you can ask us whatever.
The ArtCan project is a joint effort between the Morro Bay Beautiful, which is a nonprofit organization I'm sure you're all familiar with, and with the city of Morro Bay. It is the purpose is multifold. It is to present an event for the city, getting 10 artists involved to transform existing trash containers into works of art. It will be held within a week, which we think will be the first week in June, ending around the 5th of June. And we're going to have a lot of press. We're going to have handouts. We're going to have signs so that we will be encouraging the tourists and just the general Central Coast to come into the town during that time to see the artists at work. So the work will be done on location during a specific time. This is also probably one of the first formal public arts projects that the city of Morro Bay is experiencing, in the sense of that we are going committee by committee. We have done a prototype where we have presented an RFP, which is a request for a proposal. We're getting artist resumes, et cetera, et cetera. We've posted insurance. We took out a use application so that the existing ArtCan, which I'm sure you've all seen, yes?
Yes.
Good. is located at the chessboard. And it looks, in my estimation, fantastic. The artist was a pleasure to work with. And it met the criteria of the theme, which was the birds and beaches of Morro Bay. Okay? There's no cost to the city. I think this is very important. It's also very important that I'm talking like this at 8 a.m. It's like, keep thinking. Okay. There's no cost to the city. Morro Bay Beautiful is getting sponsorships. Each sponsorship is $1,000 per can. It is a goal. And paid, the can is being sponsored, and maintenance. I think that's a really important issue here, because in the sponsorship, yes, there's a stipend, a very small stipend to the artist. It ranges from $350 up, depending upon the treatment on the can. And there's money held back for a five-year maintenance program. Each can, the materials, when the artist submits the design, they also have to submit a materials list, and we have to approve that. Not only because we want to make sure the materials that the artist uses comply with weather, and so it'll be stable for a minimum of 5 years, but also we don't want anybody to get hurt on the can. So we want to make sure there's no jutting edges and things like that. So there is money being held for a five-year maintenance. Each can will be graffiti coated. Even though we've had no problems in the city of Morro Bay with graffiti on any art project that's been done, we are still going to do that. Have I covered everything? They're $1,000 each, and for instance, if Ed wanted to do one, he could split one with Doug.
We've talked about that.
Then both names could be on the art can. Now, what makes this, I think what you need to also look at is instead of thinking, oh, this has been done before, or this has been done before. For instance, we have the Chicago cows, you have the Catalina buffalo, and you had the San Luis Obispo fish. What makes this project different is that we are not going to be auctioning out any artwork. This artwork stays. It's basically donated to the city. So it's here to stay for everybody's enjoyment. And if you have looked at any of the trash containers along the streets, along the beaches, and in our parks, some of them are in horrible disrepair. And we are aesthetically changing the city with this project.
They're beautiful. The one that's been done is just, it's,
well,
I mean,
really,
it doesn't even look like the
I
same.
I mean, hats off to the artist.
Yep.
That was me.
I was waiting for that to come out, but
beautiful and functional. That's
yep.
Let's
yes,
not forget.
And that's it. It's functional art also, yeah. Which I mean, we could do stories on functional art. Also, the city of Cambridge.
Oh, you know, I just think that we need to focus on maybe tying those two things and making even a bigger deal out of both.
That would be great. This, it's if you can imagine, it's basically saying as if you were reading in a newspaper what's going on in an area, and through the week of blah 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 to blah blah blah, you're going to be having 10 artists doing functional art projects. We're having a map of where all the cans will be located, and information on the artists, and so people can go besides to the firemen's, you know, or in conjunction with the firemen. So to me, the more the better. So yes, I think we should all plan that.
It's kind of cool.
Collective advertising also is much less expensive.
And let's not encourage any of the rebellious youth to, for example, toss a flaming bag of poop into a garbage pail so the firemen have to put it out at the same time. I think it's the kind of synergy that we want to avoid.
Leave it to you,
kind
David.
Of thing, yeah. Good job.
But I know that, and we're going to be getting a report soon on the status of the firemen's muster, because I think they're awaiting the final permit approval from the city, which is near at hand. And once they do, then they're going to launch. And then we'll be able to jump on board too, but they kind of don't want to put their cart before the horse with regards to that event. So I'm looking forward to getting it on our website and, you know, your guys, this whole event that you've got planned. And it's really going to, I think, really help kick off June,
yeah, I think
June
the,
for Morro Bay.
Yes, and I think the visitors and tourism committee within the chamber should really be getting together with everybody in June. That's, you know, you also have that weekend, the end of May, which is the the art in the park. There's a lot going on in this area, you know, the end of May through June, which would be a great month.
Ed, could I add something?
Sure.
I'll give you my card, because we're on, exactly. I work for the advertising agency that works with the city of Morro Bay, and we'll be glad to help you get the press
great.
Release out. So I'll give you my card, then maybe you could email me just like the copy points, you know, as far as time.
Yes,
date,
we have that all done.
And I'll be glad to get the word out, not only locally here, but in the valley, and cause it's a great story.
Well, so specifically, and I was thinking of John just a second ago, too, it's a long time since I lived in New York, and we used to go in Soho and hang out, but what are the publications these days besides Art News and so forth? And maybe you could get with John on where the publications are that you'd want that, not advertorial, but the editorial kind of
right.
coverage.
Right. Already yesterday we were interviewed at the Can for by the Tribune.
Better than in the Can.
In the Can.
Yes.
I know. At the Can. by the Tribunes, that story's coming out. We have on Channel 7, our little own Huelhauser, that is not Huelhauser, has already done a whole story, and that's going to start running. So I think that as we build up, it could be very exciting.
That's great.
So now, Jane, in the material that you gave, you said that all of them were going to be gathered into one area. Are they going to be in one area? Are you going to bring them all together?
Actually,
or no?
No, they're not going to be in one area. That's
okay.
Just, and I don't think it's going to serve the purpose of the event.
Right.
Because we won't get people walking around. We had toyed with that idea because it would certainly, you know, just bring everybody, like, to the park or something. But I think that for the sponsorship people, I think for the merchants on the street, and also for the artists and for the tourists, it's fun to walk around this town. That's what, I mean, this is a great thing. You don't have to drive around here. Mm-hmm. So I think it would promote everything that Morro Bay stands for.
Great. And in terms of, like, your long-term plan, would you, I know you've mentioned the word 5 years a lot, or the term 5 years. Are you, if in 5 years a can was in disrepair, could you strip it down and have a new artist do something else?
Absolutely.
To refurbish mm-hmm. that can?
Yes.
Cool. And is your long-term goal to do as many as we can in the city?
Well, our long-term goal is we're going to present to the city an approval for 20 cans. We at first were thinking about doing 10 cans, but, you know, let's do 20. And then if we get 12 or 14, we can do those first. And, you know, it depends upon sponsorships also. Then from there, we're going to then plan the next phase. So it will be ongoing. And as I say, we have 113 cans right now in the city, and it is our goal to treat all of them.
Great.
And with each phase, we would like to plan different themes, which would be fun too.
And I believe you told me earlier that you already have 4 sponsorships mm-hmm. already right. collected. So
Morro Bay Beautiful sponsored the first one. The Rotary has stepped aboard. The Rotary wants to sponsor one every year. I don't know if we can do that because we're getting a pretty good response on this. And, of course, we still don't have city approval. That'll happen this month. So we have stopped a lot of our plans because we can't really go
forward. Clarify something. We do have information in our packets. Okay, so just so you can...
Okay, good.
Yeah, you can forgive who you weren't going to forgive, but...
Okay. We personally counted every trash can in town and went around and evaluated them. And so some are leaving. Morro Bay Beautiful and the Harbor Department are buying 8 new trash containers. Several of those will be used for our art can project. And then the older ones will go to the Rock, and then we'll start our art project and rehab some of the older ones.
That's great. That's great. I was wondering if the committee wanted to, I don't know how we are in this current fiscal year, but the timing of it isn't so far off that we couldn't investigate the possibility of the promotions committee actually sponsoring a can ourselves. Maybe in our future budget.
I think that would be excellent because it would really show support for the project. You know, with a city committee.
Here we go.
A can featuring the logo we have yet to decide on for the city.
We could do all of your portraits, like just maybe a piece of everybody on.
Okay,
Mount Trashmore. Yes, I got it.
Maybe we love tourists.
Yep.
Oh, the I love tourists garbage bin.
Yep.
The art's already done.
Art's done. Yeah.
Well, it's themed as birds and beaches, but we could have people there and like a little thing tourist. Not
yeah. Maybe
David,
like
that's
a little
New York.
Button.
We have to understand something about the New York I grew up in, and the New York that the campaign I Love New York grew out of was that the entire city had become a trash can by 1977, and we don't want that here. No.
Well, actually, I do have to tell you, when I was working on the can at the chessboard, here there's 3 trash cans at the chessboard. Here I am working diligently on this can, and there's all these other cans people could put their trash in. Nope. They all had to come in and throw their trash while I'm working on the can. So it just shows that it's catching people's attention, and they're thinking twice, oh, where should I throw my can? Let's do it in that pretty one. So I think it's going to work great to beautify our city.
I think that maybe what we could do is keep an eye on this, and John can help us as we get closer to the end of our current fiscal year to see how we are financially with our own budget, and maybe we can come back and take a look at either being able to do something in this current fiscal year.
As we've done in the past, you know, it's probably appropriate for me to come next month with a kind of a budget review. I mean, I've been giving a synopsis, and I have one today, but what I could do is, you know, get it really down to the final dollar and see where we are at.
Okay.
You know, some of the things we used for the coupon guide, you know, we used some of that fire sale money, but I can see, you know, where we're at and what options we have. We're getting pretty close to the end, so our options are less than they were.
Sure.
But we still may have the ability to do that.
So if it's okay, maybe we could just continue this item to the next promotions committee meeting then? That'll keep our eye on the ball, so to speak. Our eye on the can. Okay, great. Let's move on then to our monthly reports, visitor center report, and we have the presence of Susie Schultz.
Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome.
You'll see that in this report. I did go ahead and print out the statistics from the website just so that there's something to back up the numbers that you see here. The phone calls this year are up from 2006, February. The sessions are down a little bit, but I'm not sure why that is. And then the total number of visitors is actually down a bit as well. As far as promotional mailings go and tourist packets, we sent out 80. Fulfillment, 142. And then as a side note to that, let me just say that there's a lot coming in with the Morro Bay Travel Planner. Sierra Magazine just sent some things in. And I feel like I'm missing one. Sunset.
California Visitors Guide.
So those are just now coming in, so it looks like the fulfillment's going to pump up a little bit. And then as far as website stats go, these are all pretty self-explanatory, and they seem to be running pretty average with the exception of hits, which were up quite a bit from February 06. And then, again, as far as the 800 numbers and people inquiring as to our area, you'll see, again, which has been pretty much the way it's been since I've been involved with the chamber, that most of the inquiries come from Southern California and the Central Valley. So that hasn't changed. The out-of-state looks to be pretty average as well. I did want to say a couple of things about the trade show.
Yep. We've been waiting for a report from the L.A. Travel Show.
Okay. I was down there last year, and I was told there was about 40,000 people that came through. Now, Saturday this year, when the travel agents come this year, I did meet with John Palminteri. He came to our booth, and he did an interview with me about events going on in the city of Morro Bay. I did mention the Kite Festival and the Avocado and Margarita Festival. One, because he's a national judge for Carpinteria's Avocado Festival. So KEYT News wants to jump on board with Morro Bay because they're trying to come up into this area. So I think that they'd be very viable as a sponsor for any event that we've got going on in the city. Who else did I speak with? I was brought a couple of magazines that there's some interest in Morro Bay. One of them is a Spanish, it's called Punto, but there's a William Hartshorn does travel writing in this area. John, are you familiar with him?
No.
And I'll kind of pass these things around so you can kind of look through here and see where he's bringing groups to Morro Bay to do travel writing for different magazines and photography. And then I also spoke with the International Cinematographers Guild and Dana Winsman with California Travel and Tour. So there was some really good connections being made down there, if you know who you're talking to. Now, as far as our booth goes, I think that we're really dated. I mean, some of those other booths that you see down there are beautiful, state-of-the-art, up-and-coming, in the new century, and that sort of thing. The people that I find that are coming to our booth either know somebody in Morro Bay or the surrounding area, have been here before, were as a child, and that sort of thing, and want to know if this or that is still there in Morro Bay, or they're heading up Highway 1 or coming down Highway 1, and they want to know about Morro Bay specifically. So in that thought, I don't think things have changed. It's still stumbling on Morro Bay, but we had an excellent location at the trade show. So moving on.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Because I was at the show as well, and I brought this up at our last meeting. I think that one of the things that would be a pretty short-term, inexpensive fix would be to show our DVD in the booth.
Yeah.
I noticed a lot of people had used video.
Right, and I noticed that as well. I think that that would be fine as long as there's someone there to talk to. These people that are coming by the booth, they want to talk to someone. They're not going to stand there and listen to a
right.
verbiage. But as a background, fabulous. I think that would be easy to incorporate. The campaign did an excellent job. We've got the links coming in now later on this week, and we sent you a
right.
press release a day or so ago.
Right.
I've got some fabulous posters that everybody should have one down here on the waterfront and also uptown. So they can come by the Chamber of Commerce. We're at 845 Embarcadero Suite D and pick one of those up. And we're looking forward to having them here for almost a week. So.
Right. Well, it's encouraging that you say that, because that is one of the events that we sort of used as an experiment to earmark to say, let's, you know, take this event and do more PR than we would normally do. So that's good to know that.
Well, and I'll tell you that from the ship's captain, each boat had to add an additional sail. They were sold out.
And we did get KSBY to do a story. They didn't do
yeah.
quite the story that they did on the Endeavor, which was like every night of the week. But they did put a reporter on board, and I did not get to see the story.
I didn't either.
I tried to get a tape, but they did file it, because I actually talked to the news director, and he said that guy had a blast and
yeah, oh, I
enjoyed
bet.
It.
Yeah, so that was encouraging and really exciting to see.
I want to go back to the LA Travel Show
mm-hmm.
for a second, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, should we keep doing this?
I think that it's viable because we are in driving distance from Los Angeles.
Okay.
And that's our market.
Okay. Good for you, because that I think that's the key. It doesn't, you know, because
mm-hmm.
it is expensive. I mean, it's,
yeah.
you know, a couple thousand bucks to go down there that,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we're not reaching and talking to people, what's the point?
Right.
And so that's important to, you know, to get that feedback from you so we know what to do.
Yeah. And, you know. And like I said, a person being there that has knowledge of the area is essential.
I think it's a worthy show. I mean, mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think it was, and I haven't been to a lot of those, but the one I went to a couple years ago seemed a lot more crowded. But even
yeah.
with the lack of the crowd as comparable, I mean, it's still a lot of people. I mean,
mm-hmm.
thousands and thousands of people that are
mm-hmm.
interested in traveling.
The other thing that
if
I was...
Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
Too crowded. If the show is too crowded, that is
right.
bad, too.
Right.
I've been to the ones where they couldn't even walk down the aisle.
Yeah, me too.
And that's kind
right.
of a disaster, too.
Right. Right.
Yeah, there's something to be said for a little bit more intimate show where people do get to talk to the, you know, the booths, and they just don't go and just grab literature and just go from, you know, booth to booth, because that's not productive either.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention before you move on was you bringing the Spanish magazine up kind of made me want to ask the question. I've been pursuing translating our website into Spanish. And I know that the County Visitors and Conference Bureau has it available in three languages and did that. So it didn't cost them hardly anything to do the copy changes. So I'm thinking it's, you know, it might be pretty important.
I think that's a fabulous idea. I just hope that there's someone on the other end that when you get that phone call
yeah.
can answer the questions. And my Espanol es poquito.
But it's true. And I just noticed, for example, only in the last few months has Amtrak's website now have a box marked Amtrak en Espanol. I mean, now. I mean, that's been a national organization for 35 years and just now. So if they feel it's worth doing that, then clearly the direction is moving in this way.
I think there is that. I think Susie brings up a good point, though. And I agree. I mean, I think especially if it's a nominal cost, we should just do it. But there's another part of the... And I have several clients that we help with Spanish, reaching out to Hispanics, and you've got to be prepared to service them too. I mean, to have somebody that can speak the language, and because if you're going to sell that, then you got to have it, you know, backed up.
Well, I guess, except for the only thing I would say is that, you know, you could put something in the website that would, you know, tell folks that, you know, we're not the best at this, and I mean, here's the pictures, here's the ad, here's the copy of all the stuff. You know, but I don't think that we ought to, you know, that
well,
we have
think,
to go.
I guess my point is that, and I agree, I think we agree. I mean, it's you can certainly put it in Spanish, and that's not going to offend anybody, but you don't want to invite them, you know, to call if you don't have somebody to speak Spanish. Because it's sort of like
well,
a false
I understand,
promise.
You know, you got to draw the line somewhere with how much you can do outreach if you're not prepared to fulfill, you know, that, so you can't promise them the world, but I still say that, you know, that having it available, you know, I mean, besides just, you know, our neighbors in Mexico, I mean, this thing, you know, I mean, the internet's worldwide.
Right.
And there's a lot of countries that speak Spanish.
Right.
You know, well, and that's why they've converted it to German, too. I mean, so, you know, I mean, I think there's other reasons for having it translated. I think, number one, it is a nice invitation for people, you know, to reach out. It shows people that, you know, in other countries that, you know, we're trying,
right,
you know, to appeal to them.
Well, I think it also positions Morro Bay as, you know, welcoming international travelers.
Right.
It gives you some credibility, even with the English-speaking people, you know, because all of a sudden it looks like, wow, this is an international destination.
I was contacted by NBC and Telemundo, and they've got a travel expo coming up. And I printed off the material that's in June. The attendance is expected to exceed 20.
I think if you did that show, you'd want to have your material in Spanish.
Yeah.
I agree, because I went through the whole website and was checking out who was there, and it was a Hispanic community, which,
right,
you know.
That might be a little tough to achieve by June, but.
And have a Spanish-speaking person in the booth.
What else?
Let's see. I'm thinking about events. We've got the reverse drawing coming up at the end of this month. That's March 31st. That'll be right here at the Vets Hall beginning at 6 p.m. That's our biggest fundraiser for 4th of July and some of the other events that we've got going on in the area. The tickets are $100 for two, and that includes dinner. Every 10th ticket wins at least $100, and it goes all the way up to $1,000. We're asking people to come in their best Joker's wild hat, and the best hat wins $100 as well. The food this year will be provided by Divine Street Catering out of Cayucas, so they're local. And after that, we've also got the yard sale days, so that's March 31st through April 1st. I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of people in town. This is a very popular event with people from the Valley. This gives them an excuse to come over and look at the stuff that everybody's got over here. So that's both Saturday and Sunday. Maps are available at the Chamber of Commerce, so if people want to drive by, we can toss them one as they drive by. This parking's going to be quite limited down on the Embarcadero that day. And like I mentioned before, we have the links coming in. I believe it's the 21st through the 26th, if I'm not mistaken. And then after that, see, we're in March, April.
The end of April is the
28th and 29th is, yeah,
Kite
the Celebrate Morro Bay Parade in conjunction with the Morro Bay Kite Festival. We've got kites coming in the size of football fields. And if this is something that people have never seen before, it's very worthwhile. It's free to the community. The kids are going to enjoy it. Come bring your kite down and fly with the big boys.
I like that
slogan.
Bring your kite down and fly with the big boys?
Yeah. As a side note, now I talked to Bill down at the chamber yesterday and stuff, but what we did at the Embarcadero Inn is with our little newsletter that mm-hmm. we send out every month to our people, we've made April Kite Festival Month.
And it is nationwide.
It's going to be a blazing 2 weeks' worth of stuff going on here, which is great.
Right.
Good job.
I think that's all I have.
That's enough for one month.
Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much, Susie.
Has that new box of buttons that Paul mentioned ordering come in yet?
Who ordered them?
Pete. I'm sorry, Pete.
I have no knowledge.
You don't know? Okay.
So you haven't seen a new box of buttons?
No, I have not.
Budget report. You can see one thing I'd like to report to you that we've been missing over the last few months is we now have some expenditures designated and being reimbursed to the Visitor Center that shows on our financial statements. So they've got the bookkeeping part is squared away. We've been hearing that the chamber the chamber has been getting reimbursed for expenses out of the Visitor Center reimbursables, but that we hadn't seen them yet. So on show up on our report. So now we're getting to see those, and I'm thinking it was a coding issue, but that's fine. It doesn't make any difference. We show that up and running. John's going to go over we'll go over our little up-to-date expense report. But I'll just have you take a look, if you would, if you haven't already, at the our transient occupancy tax report. And you can see that, again, in January, we were up in our TOT with a slight increase in occupancy citywide, which is good news. We're not breaking down the doors with any records here, but at least we're holding our own and not falling backwards. So that's a good thing. Yes, sir. I believe that is vacation rentals, for example. While I don't know what exactly all that's comprised of, but I believe that I would guess that the most of that would be vacation rentals in with regards to TOT, because there's really just the three segments, and two of them are actually listed here with the RV parks and the actual motels. But beyond that, I'm thinking that's the only other group that collects TOT for the city. Anything else? John, you want to, shall we attack this part?
Okay. As you can see, I'm passing around our budget read May, LA Times Travel Guide April. So the majority of these are usually about one more hit that you see as far as budget remaining. We also have one more email newsletter to do, and some leftover money as far as web maintenance and web development. I'll tackle that and see where we are as far as what more we're going to do. I know with like posting the events and things like that, what I'll try to do is average that out and see how that's going to budget out at the end. I'll do that between now and the next meeting to give a recap. And then also public relations, there's a little bit more money out of that because it hasn't been reflected on the campaign we did for the tall ships and some of the other things. And we're in the process between now and the next month sending out a whole other batch of the press kits back again to like we did with the outreach, which helped us get the Coastal Living. And I'll make a comment about Coastal Living in a moment. So that's pretty much the recap. As you can see, we're getting down to the wire. Most of our advertising ends around May, and we have a few things that still occur in June. Our PR will continue, and that's one reason why I want to have money still left, because even though we'll have a lag time where we won't have a budget between like July and August, but I want to keep that was the hope, was to have the PR cover those periods. Even though it's busy in the summertime, we still need to have some outreach, sort of like with the our Morro Bay Beautiful campaign and things like that, so we're staying the press. So that gives you pretty much an overview of the budget.
John, to that end, I wanted to, for a minute, we don't have anything anywhere on paper that talks about the additional funds that the promotion committee have been allocated in the mid-year.
Yeah, I can add that next time. They will be expended.
Okay. I was just, to that, again, I don't know if you had talked with Greg Hummer from Travel Coupon Guide, but for some reason, I got the bill. So, I told him you were the guy. So I thought I'd bring it and give it to you, and then I guess you can forward it to the city.
Sure.
Or if
yeah,
you
I had talked about billing us directly, but obviously it didn't happen. So,
the next issue we should be seeing in the next.
I have a copy of that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I just got mine in the mail, and it's not.
I just have a copy of the ad.
Oh, okay. Okay, because it will be in the next issue, or the following two issues, because the current issue is, I thought it was going to be the March-April issue, but I believe it's the next one that's coming that will hit the streets. So,
Was that the fire sale money? Was that?
Yes, I believe that's where that money for this is at.
That we've seen before as we get closer into the spring, into the summer, our website views go up. So this is a period between February 22nd and March 12th, so it gets us as most current as we can. So we're always kind of looking at it about middle of last month to here, obviously, because we're when we meet. But we are starting to see some nice spikes. If you'll go back up to the top just for a second, that gives you the statistics as far as total user sessions, 13,355, total page views. And actually, the page views are up. And that's a good thing, because that even though the hits really aren't that important, the pages are really what's where people are going and
they're spending more time
being more serious. So mm-hmm. that actually is up over, and I think your statistics said that as well. The sign-up is wrong. We are now at this last period, we had right around, I think it was 32 sign-ups, and I do have the total because I know there was a request for that. And we're right at about, we're at 5,500
wow.
in our database. And part of that is, and I'll have to go back and look, I never got a report from the LA Times, so I'll request that, but to see how many, you know, hits we actually got from that, and then how many sign-ups occurred through the through that. So we're having it, we've got a pretty, you know, good-sized database now to work from. And that's just for the new members, that is where people have gone onto the website and said, yes, send me an email newsletter. And we try to send those out. We've tried to do it every month, but sometimes it's a struggle, but we at least try to do it every other month. So we're due to send out, you know, another newsletter here, probably another three before we get to the end of the year.
Well, with all the events,
right?
You know, I just think it's, you know,
yeah, we'll make sure that
critical.
That happens. And that comes out of also comes out of the web maintenance money. So that's one reason why we still have a balance there, because we want to do some more newsletters. That gives you kind of a picture of that. And then if you'll do the next slide for me. This again just shows the no referral category, which basically means that people went in and typed moralbay.org. So again, we look at this as some support of our advertising in that they had to specifically go to the website that we're directing them to. And then if you want to put up the ad, it's the coupon. I think that's the next one. So this is our proof from Travel Coupon Guide, and I did pull everybody, and pretty much the consensus was for the lighter colored picture, although there were some that liked the other, but I think this was the majority winner, and I think
you'll be able to see which number, how many calls each number got.
Are those two 800 numbers being separated, like say from Southern California to the Central Valley?
Well, they can be targeted to whatever you want to target them to, uh-huh. But this one is specifically for that magazine.
So it's going into the four states.
Right.
So we'll know that that's where that one's coming
right.
from. Okay. Oh, what a good idea. Yeah. Very good.
And also, the other 800 number that you received will be used in the additional money that the promotions committee got mm-hmm. to go down into Southern California over the next couple of months with Calabasas Magazine and cable television.
Good.
So those will also have a new 800 number attached to them.
Okay.
So that we can track specifically at least do what we can to track response and by phone call.
Okay.
From
now,
that.
Now, how, because I do that report myself, how will I know where these different numbers are? Oh, I'll be able to tell by the phone bill. Never mind.
Right. Your phone bill will break down, and then when you see, you know, 888-4242, you'll go, oh, okay, that's the stuff they did here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, no worries. That'll be easy. Okay.
It should be.
Yeah, that's cool. Very good.
The other thing, I just wanted to make a comment from someone who's been contracted with both these guys, with all three publications, as a matter of fact, for 15 years we've been doing this with these guys. This is the first time in 15 years that any of these publications has ever done something like that and focus on a specific destination on the front cover of the magazine. So, I mean, we talked about this before, and it's one of the reasons why we did it, but I really think the exposure is going to be incredible. What it does for us ultimately, we'll wait to see. But, you know, only time will tell. But I'm telling you that they really do, the public eats these magazines up.
Oh, yeah. We run out of them constantly. And it's perfect for seniors that are traveling Sunday through Thursday.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's excellent.
And if you'll put the other ad up, this is the smaller ad. This is the banner ad that goes inside. So again, we have, this will go right at the top of all the different coupon offers. And so it talks about the location halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And again, our 800 number, our website, and Discover Your Better Nature. So it's, again, that'll be the top. Well, I requested that. That's one reason why I requested the proof of, and that's a proof.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Well, the cover is, not the map.
Okay.
I wasn't sure. Well, I'll have to call and ask them about the map.
If you would.
How far along they are, but we created both of these, but we still left it to them to put the page number in. So I didn't want to have however many thousands that say page number to go here.
Right. Yeah.
So I made sure we got approved.
Yeah. Good.
Because they had to set that page in. I mean, they couldn't. I called Greg to say, "What page number do you want me to put?" And he said, "Well, we won't know that."
Right. Because they don't know how many ads.
So they had to do that on their own. So
right.
I made sure we got approved of that. This the banner ad we created, so there wasn't any issue there. But I'll check with him about the map.
Yep. Great. Thank you. Now, if it's okay, we'll just leave it to John because I know they're going to go to print. We'll just leave it to John to okay that map and stuff and.
Hopefully they haven't gone to print yet. I'm not
right.
Sure the deadline was.
Yeah.
And then let's see. I think the next ad, please.
This one?
Yes. And this is the ad that will be going into Calabasas Magazine. Again, this was where we pulled everybody. And as you see, it says, visit our website for special getaway packages and enter to win a free overnight stay in Morro Bay. So we'll put that onto the website. The good news with Calabasas is that I got them to do a story. They wouldn't do a story just on one destination, but they're going to do a story on the Central Coast, and it's going to be Morro Bay, Pismo, and Avila. And originally, Morro Bay was not going to be a part of that. So I think because we went in with the ad, it shows you how much advertising separates from editorial. But in the case of these regional publications, you can have some weight by giving them ads. So it appears to be a really nice story that will complement our ad. And again, granted, there'll be Avila and Pismo in there as well, but I don't think that's going to necessarily be a problem because they're looking at it, and I agree with them, as a whole Central Coast story. And so I think it actually adds even weight, to ours. And so we sent them photographs, we sent them copy. I mean, we kind of guided them along on the editorial part of it. So the nice thing is, and we had kind of hoped for that, was that we're going to have a good story to back up our ads in the publication, and that'll be the April May issue.
So, not to put you on the spot, but are you still doing a little work for Pismo?
Mm-hmm.
So are you? Were you responding to them from Pismo's standpoint too?
To give you an idea, if I hadn't have responded on Morro Bay's behalf, Pismo would have been in there without Morro Bay.
So they would have. They were going
write a story on Pismo. Started with their interest more in Avila than anything because of the oil spill and everything else. So that's where they began, and then Pismo has run some ads in there in the past. So they approached, and so I think they felt beholden to Pismo if they're going to do it on Avila. And then I said, well, here's somebody else you should include to make a better story, and we'll be coming in with some ads. So I don't see it as competition in a sense. I think it'll make a nice Central Coast story.
Oh, sure. So do I. Yep. Good job.
So that's the ad there for Calabasas. And I can't recall, did I give you anything else to put up? Okay. And what we'll be doing is we'll be re-editing the spot that you see. You can see that on the internet, the 30-second spot. With the new 800 number, there's a tag in there that says where the summer sun spends the winter. Obviously, that'll change out. And we'll encourage them with a new voiceover to go to the website for special getaway packages. Yeah. So our call to action will match our print ad.
Would you, do we have the ability, maybe we could show that ad next week or next month at our
we could show
at
it on
the meeting?
Are you online right now? We could show that spot. If you go to the home page and just click on the 30-second spot.
Susan, have you been able to, Susan, have you seen that? Yeah, have you seen the 30-second spot?
And Susan, I have a spreadsheet for you too that I'll give you after the meeting on the whole budget.
Well, while we're waiting for the cows to come home, did you have something else?
Let's see. No, I think other than just, I think I already mentioned sort of what we're going to be doing PR activity-wise. And again, I was encouraged to hear that it went well with the tall ships because that, I think that's, again, I know what one important thing I almost forgot. But anyway, with the tall ships, I think with the Kite Festival, I'd like to propose we have a budget to do that, do the same thing we did with the tall ships where we try to get some added coverage, get KSBY, possibly get some sort of a media sponsor in kind. Maybe Charter might be willing to do that for us. And just sort of take it to the next level rather than just send out a press release, take it and go far with it. I think the Margarita Avocado Festival would be a logical one for the next one, too.
Absolutely.
Would you had a comment to make about coastal living?
Yes, that was the one that I almost forgot. I just can't tell you how disappointed I was when I went to my mailbox, and I've been waiting for coastal living, and I subscribed to Coley, really disappointed and surprised. I normally wouldn't come to you and say, we're in, but, you know, she assured me we're in, and we gave her all the photographs and all, you know, been working pretty diligently. So we will still have a really great story in coastal living, and I think that, again, just looking at our PR effort, and it did occur through our public relations outreach of sending out the media kits. I think we might have gotten a little mention, but I think once they got the destination guide, they said, wow, you know, there's a story to tell, and these photographs are really neat. And that's really where the story became more than just a little mention. So I'm be anxious to see what a national story like that will do for us. And in my view, it's going to be more than a page. I mean, it's going to be a few pages. It's at least what I'm hoping for. But right. I haven't had a peek at it yet. They don't usually send you the, you know,
I'd also, there. If you would, comment on, I found out yesterday, when I went on the website and saw that on the homepage and stuff with the links coming, that there was nothing on there at all, no mention of the links anywhere on the website. And I asked, so I called and talked to Bill yesterday about that, and come to find out that that the links is pretty recent, that they've even gotten in touch with
right.
with you guys.
Right.
So that we didn't have the longevity or the long length of time to respond and get on board like
right.
we did with the Lady Washington. The
it was like a week or two is what they gave us. So as soon as I got the press release, we sent that on to everyone that needs to have it and requested posters and that sort of thing, hoping that we can get the word out.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that's it's just right. a timing
I mean,
issue.
We made
that
an effort to get it on. I don't know if is it on right now. Because I talked to my artist yesterday about getting it on that yesterday. So
great.
Yeah, that's the spot.
I'm sorry, I don't have sound ready for it.
Well, that's okay.
But
just keep. Well, what? Get some sound. I hear sound, but it's not good sound. Are you going to have sound? You said yet.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. The sound is on this computer. I'm sorry. I did not read it for this morning.
Oh, so we won't be able to hear it.
Yes, you wouldn't be able to hear it. If you go to the side, you'll be able to hear it.
I understand that, but I mean, as we sit here right now, we won't be able to hear that. Okay, so why don't you play it? We'll watch it, and then we'll get on with it. Super. Hi, Joe.
That's all I had.
Okay. Any questions for John? Moving on then. Public Relations Subcommittee report.
Did not have a meeting in this last thing. I guess we're waiting the item D, which is committee reorganization, and see how that turns
right.
out. Yeah.
Okay. And is that the same for the website subcommittee, I'm assuming? Right.
Yeah.
That's what I knew that. Okay. Moving on then. Unfinished business. Business discussion of banner ads on the website. Is there anything new? Should we just continue that to the next meeting? With this, we've been talking with Peter and with regards to the store and how that's all going to play out and the chamber store and stuff. Should we just?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be great to have Peter here for that discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so if we could, continue that to the next to the next.
I guess that would go along with. I was kind of wondering what they worked out with Greg too. I know I was sort of insistent that they put the commercial at the back. I wasn't, you know. Hope I didn't sound like I didn't think we should do it, but
yeah, you did.
Well, then I was wrong.
No kidding you.
I'm just curious to see where that went, because I think the next step was for him to take it to the chamber, because it sounded like Peter said that they hadn't really decided whether they were going to embrace that yet or not.
So we should, so we don't lose track of that, maybe we should add, because it really is an unfinished business item, maybe we should add an item B for next month to find an update on the getaway video, update on getaway video. If we could, Bridget, please. Thank you. Okay, moving on to new business items. We've already discussed item A, and are going to be talking again about that next month. Item B is a discussion of a potential display information board from InfoBoard to be placed in the Santa Maria Airport and in the California Welcome Center in Pismo Beach. We talked about this last month, and we continued it to, or actually we added it to this so we could actually get down to brass tacks and money stuff, I believe. So John is...
Well, I presented all the money. I may have... got it wrong in the last meeting. I thought we were just going to continue it for not just at the next meeting, but we were just going to let it go for a while.
Okay, and not bring it back up again. Okay, I wasn't sure. You know, how are we going to do that? So we were going to continue it, and I wasn't sure if that was the goal to continue it until the next when we put our new marketing plan together.
If you would, when I bring back what we have left, I could bring back that item again, and we could go through the costs again if you'd like, because some of it was fairly nominal. If you wanted just a small, 8.5 by 11 ad in the state visit, in Pismo, I think it was only about $500 for the year. And then the airport was a little more. It was, and again, I apologize not having exact figures, but that was more like, a few thousand dollars to have it, but that would be a larger board. That would be at the Santa Maria Airport. I think the feeling was the airport, that there was not as much interest there because they felt like, well, it's just going to be the locals, and how many are we really getting from Vegas, that would see that.
Right.
But if there is interest in maybe doing a small one in Pismo at the State Visitor Center, that might, for that kind of money. Remember we used to have that one in Gaviota for years?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's similar to that.
Do you know what the number of visitors is coming through the state?
No, I can find out, though.
I'd be curious.
How many they're getting. I'm sure it's going to be dramatically different for the summer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. But they've now, how long have they been open? Has it been a year?
No, I think it's only been about 3 or 4 months.
Okay. Yeah, March maybe.
I've got the card. I met the owner of the outlet center, the general manager of the outlets down there, and where the welcome center is, and he was very enthusiastic about having that welcome center down there. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of numbers they actually are pulling off, and if it would be beneficial for us to be involved down there in that, from a promotional standpoint.
Well, I think certainly, I think you're right, John, that our discussion last month was that the airport wasn't, the expense was so high, we weren't sure if it was going to pay off. But I think I'm at least still interested in the California Visitor Center. So if we could talk about that next time, I think that would be great.
Okay.
If there's nothing else on that, item C, consider participating in the Harbor Festival advertising. I don't remember putting that on myself, putting on the agenda. I may have, but did we actually have? Did you? Is it your fault that we did that?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Take off. Go.
Well,
you're on.
I don't know if you all recall, but last month, Lonnie came and made a presentation.
That's right.
Kind of getting the promotions committee, and we also were coming for a request, basically for a grant for a couple of thousand dollars to spend specifically on advertising outside of the county for the Harbor Festival.
So, I don't know how the committee feels, but what you're saying is that would you want the committee to turn over money to somewhere else other than us actually taking on the job of promoting spending the money here within the committee to promote the Harbor Festival?
Yes.
So what you're saying is that you could do a better job than we could?
No, I'm not. And if the committee feels like they would...
Well, no, I just wanted to...
my thought was that you wouldn't necessarily need the extra work, but if John, felt like that was something that he wanted to take on or could take on, certainly we would be, open to that. We kind of were looking at the markets of Monterey and Santa Barbara, hoping that those were markets that were close enough that would come to the festival.
So could you do something like, since the Avocado and Margarita Festival is September 22nd, couldn't you tag on to that?
Absolutely.
I think that what I would propose is that the committee could suggest that, or pass that that I work with Heather's group, and it would be a appropriate, you know, whatever the figure is, say if it's $2,000, that money would be earmarked, but that I'd still place it, but I would work with them. And then I think the other part of it, which I think would be really helpful, and I know you're going to do PR on your own as well, but maybe through, you know, we could work together. And just as we've earmarked certain events, I mean, the Harbor Festival is certainly one that should be, get that extra, you know, hit with public relations. So we could help on the PR side of it too, and kind of fill some of the voids. And because the Harbor Festival really is one of, you know, is probably our biggest event of the year. I mean, and again, it's been, we've helped out in the past, you know, but we've never helped out to a big degree because there's always been people in place to do that. But there's certainly opportunities that through our other clients, like in the Valley and stuff that we do work for, that we might be able to get more of an outreach. I think the real key, and I think this was true for the tall ships, was getting that more outreach. And I think, Bill, we talked about this too, as far as in the Valley, because, you know, one of the things we did, and this may also be true for the Harbor Festival, is say if we have an ad in Imagine Magazine, which is, you know, goes in the Fresno Bee or the Bakersfield, California, maybe earmark the Harbor Festival as a big part of that.
The most successful Harbor Festivals financially that they've had in many years. So crowds, attendance aside, they did a wonderful job.
And I was only there for a short time.
Right.
I don't know maybe I got there during a lull, and you know, I hadn't been for a while, you know, for a few years. So.
But I definitely think, I agree with you. I don't know how the rest of the folks feel, but I agree that we should, at every opportunity now, I mean, the city has set a priority of wanting more events. Here, we've already seen the success of our ability to work and promote those events, whether through PR or paid advertising. I would just suggest that because the Avocado Margarita Festival is a new event, that we sure don't lose sight of the need, like the Kite Festival, to get all over that and try to give them as much of a boost. So we're going to have to find a way to balance. And I'm not talking about trading off dollars. I mean giving our attention. Just giving our attention and keeping our eye on the ball with regards to the new events as well as the ones that are well established. So with regards to this, I see no reason why we can't, take a look at setting aside, you know, money in the next budget to do this. I mean, we haven't really financially, other than the Lighted Boat Parade, and we haven't really financially targeted specifically special events. We've used pictures of the upcoming events in a lot of our advertising over the years, but I don't know that we've actually said, besides the Lighted Boat Parade, I can't remember us actually going out and saying, okay, these ads are going to be for this event, period. Not just Discover Your Better Nature. We're actually going to spend money to promote the event.
I
think that's a good direction, you know, to go to help make these things more, you know, successful and get them off the ground.
Well, yeah, and it gives them a specific reason to come.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think also too, and again, I know there's all different parties involved, especially for the Harbor Festival, but like where we don't have anything created, you know, yet for the Margarita Avocado Festival, you know, if we're going to do an ad, then that production that we do for the ad or the poster or flyer or whatever, all of a sudden that one bit of work gets done for everything. And that was true for the tall ships, because once we did a flyer, then we had an ad, then we had a poster, you know, one bit of artwork, and not only is it economical, but it also makes sense to have one image out there that's, you know, talking about it. And I think that's really what created the response on that ad, because I mean, you're going through.
I don't know that we've done that. I'm not saying that we should or shouldn't. I think we just got to be careful, because I think that as a group, we've set our own theme about how we want to promote Morro Bay. Mm-hmm. And I could just see this, you know, and while the Harbor Festival is close to home, there could be other solicitations down the road that aren't so close to home, that while you did it for them and, you know, that. And I think I would rather see any organization or event that wants specific help come to this committee and work with this committee within the committee, and let's see what we can do, and then decide and allocate whatever funds that the group wants to that event.
I think that's perfect. I mean, I'm very pleased with that. And I think that, you know, we would love to work with John, and I think that you're right that we should not allow money to leave this group, that John really should be in charge, because there is a focused plan, and it's important for everything to stay within that umbrella. And just to let the committee know, too, we're really excited, Lonnie and I are, and Simply Clear Marketing, because we've been able to date to get $60,000 worth of media sponsorship for the Harbor Festival. So some of that is, a lot of it's in county, some of it's out of county in the valley, and we're just really excited because we really believe that our collective efforts to really promote the festival is going to help the festival and the city. So
I think to that end, excuse me, John, just real quick, and that to that end, all the more reason why the connections made that Heather and Lonnie have made with regards to the trade or whatever they're doing will help us as to, you know, where our dollars that we, if we do promote specifically the festival, where they should go.
And I think it makes an excellent point, too, because I was hearing the fear you were having of, Ed, of the such-and-such event, the such-and-such show coming and saying, hey, you did this for them. But the answer was they don't just come to us with an empty hand. They already come to us with a full package and say, now, is there some co-venture or something? This wasn't that they understand that the Harbor Fest already has done this much, and we're there, as opposed to saying, well, we're the such-and-such show or the such-and-such fest, and then coming in from a blank page. No, no, no. It's a cooperation, not an open handout.
Well, I think it's, you know, I'm on the board for the film festival, for the SLO International Film Festival, and we had a pretty good round this time. We did last year, excuse me, and the Tribune and all the other publications, the New Times. And so that's great, a great start, because that's really a big part of it. No matter how good the festival is, if you don't get the people, it's not going to work, which seems trite.
Before I forget, and we leave this, I wanted to, if it's okay with everybody, under a future agenda item, you know what, I'll just write it down, and then, so we don't jump in. I'm sorry. Okay, what else, is that okay that we can go ahead and agendize some focus, not agendize it, but just keep an eye on this one too for our next marketing plan?
Yeah, I think that the money part of it could come from, you know, next year's budget, because we would have the budget approved probably prior to we'd want to place any ads. And then the PR part of it, again, we can write off of our current budget. I could get started working with Heather now on, you know, helping her fill any, you know, holes that she needs to have me help her out on.
I wonder if we need a motion? I don't know that we need a specific motion for that. We'll just go for it. It's in the budget to do.
Just
so
the direction from, okay, from the committee is probably all I need.
Yep.
Great. Thank you very much.
You bet. Committee reorganization, selection of chair, vice chair, and representation on public relations in the website, ad hoc committees. So we're at that time. Aren't you the vice chair?
No, David is.
David's the vice chair. Okay. I apologize. You used to be a vice chair. Didn't you? Okay. Back in the old days.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the old days. So, okay, so who wants to do chair for the coming year? Don't all yell at once.
Can I make a motion to nominate David Weissman?
You sure can. Are you up for it?
This is a tough gig.
Ed is really hard to beat.
That's what But I'm sure, I guess, if you had some training sessions, I'm sure I could catch up on how to do that.
It's very complicated.
You go to city council meetings and stuff like that.
Well, you know what? You do that anyway, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I can't second my own nominations.
Anyone
want to nominate Ed to be the...
I'll second.
Oops.
So that being said, do we have any? Do we have some further discussion? In other words, you're willing, is what I'm understanding.
Well, let's see if it's a matter of.
Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? You can vote for yourself.
I should oppose myself just on principle.
Well, you'd lose. You'd lose to a majority.
I guess so. All right. I guess aye.
Okay. Great. Well, that's passed. Congratulations, Mr. Weissman. You're our new chairperson. Do we have a vice chair nomination proposal?
I'd like to nominate Heather Osgood.
I'll second that nomination.
Discussion, are you willing?
Yes, I'm willing.
Okay, good. Any other discussion? All in favor,
Does being chair and vice chair, how does that affect positions on the subcommittees, or is that
it
not
doesn't.
Mutually?
Okay. It doesn't. So,
just make more money.
Yeah, you make more money. Your stipend grows. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. With regards to the, so we can get this straight on our public relations committee, David, it was yourself, Heather.
Ed Krovitz.
And Ed. Do you want to, Kathy's not here to find out what she would like to do. But
voice the opinion about the website.
Okay.
Class meeting.
Okay. Do you guys have a problem just maintaining that subcommittee?
No, mm-hmm. It seems okay for us, but we should clean up.
Right, unless Susan would. Would you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know what we should, because Ed isn't here, we'll bump him.
So it's.
Oh, we don't need to do that.
Oh, no, let's.
I can just
he's in China. That's not fair to begin with.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be this would be the Public Relations Subcommittee.
Yeah. So I don't think we need a motion to form. Do we need a motion to form the subcommittee? It's just.
That was ad hoc, so.
Yeah, it was ad hoc anyway. It's not a standing
so
committee.
So you're maintaining the committees as they were previously?
Just so far, just the PR subcommittee, the ad hoc subcommittee for public relations. We haven't addressed the website
Since David's the chairman, can he also serve on one of the committees?
Sure.
You didn't last year.
Sure. That's because I didn't.
You didn't want to.
Well, I don't know what was that, but it was more of what we just went through with the PR subcommittee where, you know, Susan wanted to and Ed's not here. So, you know, and Heather is and wants to and David wants to. So, Ed, you know, obviously we're all involved in that from a marketing standpoint, but that's something that I want to be involved in, too, on the money end when the time comes, if that's appropriate. Okay, so then we go to the website subcommittee and Bill. And Billy Clayton and Ann Reeves were that website subcommittee. And so with the loss of Billy and Ann, it leaves Bill by himself. And Kathy has expressed an interest to be on that subcommittee. Bill, are you still willing to be on that subcommittee as well?
Yeah.
Okay. And then so we can either put me on that subcommittee or Ed on that subcommittee. Because that's, or, you know, I mean, you guys can serve on two. There's nothing that says you can't, but how would you want to do that?
I understand about, what do they call that, content creation, but about the web, I will admit, again, on that whole hits and misses thing, my expertise is quite limited.
Yeah, well, so is mine from that standpoint. Mine would be more of a looking at the creative part of it or whatever, for whatever good I am at that. So that's up to, I would be happy to volunteer for that committee, and then that, you know, but we don't have to do that now. We can wait till Ed gets here next month, let him know what he's not doing to see if it's something that he does want to do and go. We can forego this. How do you feel about that?
Okay.
It brings up the problem with the banner ads and the gateway proposal. Are we going to have to finish that off next month?
Well, but
if we don't have a committee, we can't very well do
it. But we were willing to take it up with the whole committee today. And not have it be at the subcommittee level, if we would have had some information. I still don't have any. We don't have any information here, so to be even able to address that. So I don't think it's a big issue.
I think it'll become a much bigger. Well, I want to say much bigger. It'll become an active issue for the web subcommittee if it eventually goes through. If it happens and it needs to be monitored, then the web subcommittee would be.
It seems now that it's where it's at is with the chamber. You know, if the chamber says they want to do both of those things, then it sounds like the next step is they come back to us again and tell us what they've decided, especially for getaway videos, because I think that's
right.
That's where it went. So without hearing from Peter on where, you know, where that's at, the banner ads I think is sort of the same thing, although it's, I think there's a consensus that the chamber would like to do that.
Okay. Then if it's okay with everybody, we'll continue the selection of the website ad hoc committee and put that under unfinished business for our next meeting next month. Okay.
Members of the upcoming year subcommittee for public relations, which would be Susan and David and Heather.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Thank you.
If I could just selfishly add one reason for the Public Relations Subcommittee, from my standpoint, is that it was created to help me gather data. So in other words, if I'm not always actively here in the city, and you and many of you are, so when you, like with the Margarita Festival, if there's another little angle, or if there's something happening that for whatever reason I'm not aware of, it's real helpful to have the subcommittee kind of gather some of that. And I certainly will write the press releases and execute them and all that, but a lot of times it's just knowing what's happening and the content. And that's really one of the main reasons why it was formed. And then it's also about ideas and things you can, go to me with of what you'd like to see, and then eventually the committee would decide. But it's real helpful to have that added information and, actually kind of have some people giving me what's currently news-oriented. Because with PR, and I've been doing it a few years now, you just never know what they're going to cover. I've given people stories that you think are just like, almost Watergate, and they wouldn't even cover it. And then you're embarrassed to like send something in, and then you have all three TV stations wanting to do it, so it's hard to tell. The best way is just, it's sort of like fishing, always have your line in the water.
Yep. Okay, let's, under discussion of new ideas, I asked Bob if it was okay to talk about this issue under that, and since we're not really taking any action, he said yes. So I sent an email out to everybody and asked you, and Bridget was so kind as to print some copies of the 2020 Vision Report. And I'll give you just a brief background. A couple of weeks ago at the Thursday Business Forum, the issue came up of what the business group, what do we do next? And the whole idea of well, what about this 2020 report that's been out floating around for a couple of years, which, if you remember, the Promotions Committee did address and have input to when it was being put together. From that, the business group decided that they would, maybe it would be appropriate to take a look at the document and then and see, where we might go. And one of the things that several of us noticed when we read the report was that while there were, which just met this last Tuesday for the first time, so this is all relatively new, we met up at Stewart's office, and the subcommittee as it currently sits is myself, Janice Peters, Betty Winholtz, Bob Hendricks, Roger Anderson, Nancy Barta, Stuart McElhaney, and Judy Salamaca. So those are the members of the steering committee. And what we did this last week was just sit down and put kind of a plan of action. We've set another meeting for the end of this month, in which we're going to get an update on the city's goals, how their current priorities that they just set at a recent council meeting tie into the 2020 vision document. And I asked at that time, because we're not sure where we're going, I asked if it would be appropriate, because I thought it would be, that there's certain parts of the categories in here that deal with certain specific parts of the city. One is a harbor, and another one is tourism, and another one is environment, and those kinds of things. And so I asked Bob, I said, well, would it be appropriate for the Promotions Committee to take a look at the tourism section of this document and just see, at what point that we might want to make some specific suggestions with regarding that portion of it. And he said sure. And so we're not looking, at least the steering committee at this point hasn't decided what they're going to do. We have an agenda for the next meeting, so we're not looking for answers to all of these things, but I thought that maybe we could just take a look at the document and maybe just the other thing was that we also decided was we were not interested in changing this document. We were, because no one found anything objectionable. They're all great ideas. A huge amount of work from a huge number of people went into creating this thing from all parts of the community. And I don't know if any of you sat in on any of the public hearings or public workshops that took place regarding this, but it, in my watching the process, I was so surprised of how many people came from out of nowhere that I've never seen before that were talking about the value of tourism in Morro Bay. And so that really caught my eye, and I really appreciated seeing that coming from residences and businesses alike. So that's my spiel.
That's the fourth page, I guess. And the statement is to promote the city's tourist assets in an effective and fiscally responsible manner. Then you get down to T6 under goals and activities. And I don't know that these are ranked in order of what the city would prioritize them.
No.
Okay. T4.6, develop additional opportunities for ecotourism and continue to promote the natural environment as a primary tourist attraction. And that comes under tourism, but then you have to go back to the other section, which is environment. That's a different part of it. And environment has vision statement E6. E6. I feel like this is like bingo. E6. Vision statement is to maintain the community as a bird sanctuary. And the two goals are continue city support for the Winter Bird Festival and support programs protecting peregrine falcons, snowy plovers, and other local bird species. Well, that's interesting that the bird festival actually comes under environment and not tourism. And I just thought that's a division that perhaps may be artificial, but it's something we should look to link, because in some ways under developed tourism, that would have to be, would that not be the city's premier, if not only at this point, environmental tourism outreach? And so maybe, again, you said we're not going to redo the document, but the idea of there's a case where something in the environment section clearly dovetails with something in the tourism section, and the line where it says continue city support for the Winter Bird Festival. If they're going to do that, my suggestion under terrorism, which is looking to measure...
Did you say tourism or terrorism?
Tourism. Tourists. Well, I think that's what... Isn't that what the president said?
Did you hear... I heard the T-E-R thing. Okay.
Yeah, you got to be careful of them. Tourists. Yeah. Tourists. Isn't that the way he says it? Yeah.
It was sort of like strategery.
Where are you from?
the idea that what I would like to see, if that's the case, and these two things, even if they're in separate categories, is if the city would continue support, and this came up when I was looking at the January TOT, you know, and it's still a little, if it is going to be the premier ecotourism event in the city, and if ecotourism is a focus, then it ought to have the TOT potential of being as big an event as the Harbor Festival. In fact, the Harbor Festival, as we heard earlier, turns out to be the city's big tourist event in terms of attendance, followed probably by the classic car show. Well, then, if this is going to be a premier ecotourism event, I would think it should deliver for the city, if it receives city support, the same level item or was mentioned. But if it's to be part of this vision, and that is, it would seem to me, if we're going to develop these opportunities, that's the one we have right now, and it's the one we have to go for. So maybe that would be a strategy worth looking at, because I don't know, anyone have any other ecotourism events that are big?
Well, David, I think the point that you made with regards to finding this in this section of the report rather than the other section, if you were to take a look at other portions of the document, even under the harbor section of the document, I don't know that there's a section in this report that you can't directly tie to tourism in Morro Bay, which is why we one of the first things that not only the business folks, but once the steering committee got together, quickly realized that we're all mixed together with this. Every part of this is meshed, and so that's why we decided to look at the cross down the road, the crossing over from one section to another, how they tie together. And actually, in our next meeting, we'll be discussing within this document which one of these goals has already been achieved, and is currently being, you know, in the process of being worked on. Whether it's the boardwalk or you know, the, like you read to us, the promoting of Morro Bay as a, you know, nature whatever and those kinds of things. So anyway, that's what. That's why we decided not to try to change the document, because it's so intertwined that one thing leads to another of that. I mean, you know, we have, you could just say, you know, okay, develop a parking management program. While that falls under tourism, it's also, but it's under the city public you know, basically Public Works or Public Safety Department, and so that'll be addressed in that. But yes, I agree. When the time comes, and I understand where you're coming from with regards, because we have had this conversation about the Bird Festival, and we just heard this past festival that their numbers were down a little bit from the prior year.
If I could add something, I think that what you brought up is another part, and that may not be in this report as much as maybe it should be, is that one of the reasons why the Bird Festival hasn't grown is because of the base of volunteers. I mean, I think the feeling was that they don't want it to grow. I mean, they want it to grow, but yet they realize that it can't grow right now under its present condition because there's not enough meeting facilities, there's not enough people. Certainly expand. I think we could have a couple of them.
That would be my thought, yeah. And like when you hear that, you know, you have $60,000 in media or something behind an event like that, all I say is if you're going to go with an ecotourism thing and it's going to be listed as the, you know, city's sort of premier event, then it probably needs to be treated on a premier event status rather than just one of those things that happens during the year.
What we'll do is, I just wanted to bring this to your attention that this was going on, and that it is the belief so far of the business group that we've established at Rose's that this might be a really good document to use to start building the increase in business, infrastructure, and all of those things here in Morro Bay to actually generate more revenue. And this is the tool that we're thinking that would be terrific to use as a revenue generator for the future of Morro Bay. And again, seeing what's in this document, there's no reason in the world, and we discussed this briefly, that every part of this can't work. You know, granted, there may not be the money there today, but I know that we can answer some of the questions and under the tourism section of what we're doing with regards to these goals. So I don't know that we need to agendize it again, but I will, after our next meeting, I should be able to get some direction from the rest of the steering committee as to what role that we might be able to take formally as a promotions committee. So I just wanted you to be aware of the document, and I imagine in the future we will be asked to address the specific priorities, visions, and goals that are set in here, and then maybe it'll help us, because I think part of it is that we should lead ourselves by this document, and I think to some degree we really are without knowing it. The specifics of it. So that's my two cents.
Under this continuing discussion of new ideas, I just thought I'd bring an example of something like that takes the document and actually uses its verbiage. And if I might, Bob.
Here again.
Do I hear the sound of footsteps and the pitter patter? Here's a thing for your thing that you. Yes, overhead display thing. Oops.
Oh.
And I will pass these out among the assembly. And again, there it is, encourage the development of ecotourism destinations, etc. Well, this, in researching this, came to my attention. Somerset officials say windmills generate tourism. And that Somerset, by the way, is Somerset County, Pennsylvania. Now, remember, that's not even on an ocean, so their breezes and stuff is all mountain, inland stuff. And if you'll take a look at the article, the bottom line is that the officials there say the windmills are doing more than generate power. It's how you sell it and how you market yourself, said the director of the Renewable Energy Center, St. Francis. We could become the clean energy capital of the world. Somerset County officials saying the windmills have boosted tourism. The novelty is already helping the local economy. It plays a major role in getting people off the turnpike to check them out. This is what I've been saying is a possibility for Morro Bay. You have the entire captive crowd of everyone about to travel the Highway 1 up to Hearst, Monterey, and that if we were to become the first place on the West Coast to have offshore windmills, and there are none on the West Coast, not an entire stretch from, you know, the Vancouver border to Tijuana. It would be the major newsworthy thing happening here. During a recent stay at a hunting camp, which Cobra described as 300 feet from one of the highest turbines, he counted six different groups of tourists at the base of the structure. It's been equipped with an interactive display that talks of windmill technology and provides dimensions. We now have bus tours coming to see the windmills. They said this also, the windmills have done more to draw people to the county than turn them away. They want to get to the base of them. They want to go near them. It definitely hasn't hurt tourism. And they're now offering it as an activity for people coming for business and other conventions to go and see. And as we know, we hear global warming. I know the Al Gore reference earlier. This is going to be a big issue in the next 5 years. And a place that makes a decision, like the city of San Francisco's now, has their passed their municipal resolution to go 50% green or more in the next few years. People will, when they're in San Francisco, will notice panels on the roofs of buildings and things like that. But this is, again, and I know the other thing about this being energy, I don't know if any of you got in the phone call, a telephone poll from a place in Utah wanting to know how you'd feel if you lived in Morro Bay and they put an LNG platform off the shore. Has anyone gotten that call? Okay, I guess then you picked it random like I was. So I went along with it to find out. And they're like, can you see the ocean from your house? Yes. If they were visible on the horizon but not when it was foggy, would this bother? I mean, a series of questions about this that someone's interested in putting an LNG plant off of. Have you seabirds steer clear of wind turbines? Coming from Denmark, which has had years of windmills and so forth and have conducted this study because of that fear. And it does, LA and the Audubon Society in Massachusetts seems to be taking, with guarded optimism, these things. The idea is imagine being able to have wind power and a bird festival coexist. Sierra, you wouldn't even have to call Sierra Magazine to get a cover story on something like that. And so I just put that forward as an example of a city that's looking to be have business. We can do this, by the way. Morro Bay can go to municipal power with the passage of California's municipal choice law. Any municipality can decide to get their electricity however they want. They are not beholden to the grid, and anything they generate, the PG&E or whoever owns the wires has to buy back from them. And the city of Hull, Massachusetts, did this with three windmills, and as I pointed out once before, their population is 10,000, and they're on the way to Cape Cod. Not the final destination, but the place people pass through. They generate all their electricity for the 10,000 people with the three windmills, send the rest back. It was an investment of about $1 million, and they are getting the tourists coming to see them. And if you haven't done that before and seen a wind farm, I'm going, there's a hike to the Tehachapi wind farm on May 5th that I'll be attending to see exactly, I've been there before, how that works. But again, just putting this out there is one of the ways that you look at the vision and says they want clean business, they want tourism, they are looking to the future. The other thing they'll be looking to do is figure out what's going to happen, because with the second court decision that once through cooling, the EPA has now basically been prohibited on it. Again, whole questions as to whether we're going to have a new power plant here, that's way up in the air right now. But the wind is something of which there is not a prohibition on. This is something that can be cited. We have a combination of the global warming issues and a chance for the city to take a noticeable lead on that. So this is just putting it out there.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We went to Hawaii last year on Maui, and we'd been, you know, a few years prior to that. And as I got up in the morning and looked, I was in Kihei and looked up toward the point where you go around to go to Lahaina, that whole hillside was covered with windmills. And then I read an article in the paper while I was there, and they said, I can't remember the statistic, but I mean, or the percentage, but it was pretty high. It was like 20% of the power, you know, came from, it was going to be able to provide electricity for Maui. And when you think about it, I mean, what a great spot. I mean, you got the trade winds, and you know, from an aesthetic standpoint, once you got used to it, I mean, it was sort of interesting, because you look, it's, if you're anybody's familiar with Maui, I mean, it's that big point.
And as I say, with the captive audience, every car, if they're getting people off the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and that's one of those roads pretty much is, okay, I see you agree. You're at 70 miles an hour, and you're really not looking left or right. You're either trying to get to Pittsburgh, from Pittsburgh, or out of the state. That they can draw people off of that suddenly, that it gives the eye something, I think is clearly a way to go. So I just put that out there, and I have copies. Well, Bridget, I'll get eventually for the city council as well to take a look at.
Is the Tehachapi one the one that's got just a huge? Just,
yes.
Yeah,
it's one of a couple. There's one by Palm Springs too, but
yeah, Tehachapi, Palm Springs, and Altamont Pass.
I've driven by that one. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, but see those. I point this out without wanting to sidetrack more than 20 more seconds. The Altamont Pass one has had problems. I mean, that was the first. And it's now regarded as being almost an antique in the wind industry. One of the plans is actually to replace a lot of them. They can get more energy out of one modern tower than they can out of a dozen of those older ones. I mean, that's the process
of
what they've learned.
A lot of those started as just basically a tax write-off. They weren't really worried about how efficient.
And how they treated the birds. I mean, they've worked out the technologies to make it not dangerous to the birds as it was in the past. So I just say that's one of these examples of trying to find how many things on a given vision can you cover with one particular industry, one particular item that can meet so many of these goals at once. And that was just my new idea for today. Oh, and a quick thing. This weekend, Citizens for Rail California is having a big powwow at Union Station in Los Angeles. I'm going on my own for this. The president of Amtrak will be there. I remember I did pin an I Love Tourist button on him.
You can say hello to him again, can't you?
Not only am I say hello to him, but the former Amtrak board president, Michael Dukakis, and one-time presidential candidate, will be one of their keynote speakers. And here's the reason why. Again, when something like the Harbor Fest comes up, they already put on Amtrak, because Oxnard is a direct stop, because Ventura is, when they did their Strawberry Festival. They did a, do you have a name for those cards that are this?
Rat
cards. And they went in all the stations and all the lounge cars. When they had the, Ventura does its Harbor Fest under those big tents there, they get the rat cards. My goal for this year would be if the Harbor Fest is that big in attendance, and again, the whole problem is the bus. It's the something that gets people from the station, but if there was some way, and we now have till October to work this out, to see if Amtrak would, and the marketing guys will be there at this, willing to run a month on page 18 about train service to the coast, and the big idea being the next goal is sometime this summer, if we're lucky, to get the train that goes up to San Francisco every afternoon. And I mean, it doesn't mean Oakland, it means right to downtown San Francisco. And that would open, and it would leave San Francisco at 8 in the morning, and it would get to San Luis Obispo at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, coming in the other direction. And to try and convince them, we voted for it in that bond money, $150 million to buy the train, but the state accountant doesn't want to release the money because, you see, you don't incur the debt on the bond until you actually start spending the money. And our goal is to say, well, golly, we voted for it. We want our train to San Francisco from here on the Central Coast. So I'm kind of going there to lobby on behalf of those, on those issues. But if I had some buttons to pass out, golly, now I'm the chairman today, so that, well, they'll have to stop and listen to me at least for a few seconds.
That's right. Thank you. Okay, moving on, if we could. Declaration of future agenda items.
Does anybody have one besides me?
I would like to discuss at the next meeting, if we could, participating in having the promotions committee participate in the trophy sponsorship for the car festival or for the car show. If we're taking a look at it for the for maybe doing the trash cans and stuff, and I think that the amount of money that is, you know, the trophies are $25 a piece, and I think it would go a long way if we could, you know, maybe help do something with that. So, and there will be time to do it for our next meeting. So,
who's the person that heads the car show up? Is that the chamber still? Is that your?
No, but go ahead, Susie.
It's actually Ken Vesterfeld.
Oh, okay.
Is Steve Carnes is part of that, and Ocean View Garage.
Ron McIntosh.
Ron McIntosh. That's.
I was going to give him a suggestion, and I won't take up much time to do this, but. There's a car show that they have up in Pine Mountain, which is off of 166, and it's a fairly small show, but one of the ways that they get a lot of other attendance is they have a category called Party Crasher. Yeah. And I have a Volkswagen thing, you know, so like that would be, you know, appropriate
right.
For that. But what happens is you get a lot of really, you know, funny cars. It's cars that are not necessarily classics, but they're old and they're interesting. Yeah, and that may be something they might want to think about, because you get a whole other group of...
Like you said, it's a completely different category, right. And it brings a different group of people in.
Right, and for the real purists, I mean, they don't really mind, because you're not competing with them.
Well, Morro Bay is I think it's got the reputation for having such a really informal, fun, low-key, family-oriented car show that would be right up their alley. Yeah, you ought to, you know.
If they open it up, I'll hopefully it'll make it here. I can write my thing.
If you want, what I'll do is I'll send you Ken Vesterfeld's email address.
Okay, that'd be great.
And then you guys could get together. Ken's a great guy. I think he's been here before talking
really
to us.
It really adds a lot of fun to it because you really open it up. And
great.
The kids really like it.
Anything else? We get a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. Thank you very much. We'll see the new chair and co-chair next month.